रिकॉर्डिंग स्टार्ट है। हरे
ओके माता जी, थैंक यू। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू भक्ति संघ कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस प्रशांत मुकुंद प्रभुजी टू एनलाइटिंग अस ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 31 चैप्टर 12 एंड 13 डेज ऑनवर्ड्स। फर्स्ट आई वुड लाइक टू हैंड ओवर कॉल टू टिफनी माताजी फॉर ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन अबाउट प्रभुजी। हरे कृष्णा माताजी, दंडवत प्रणाम। प्लीज टेक ओवर कॉल टिफनी माताजी।
थैंक यू। हरे कृष्णा।
थैंक यू। हरे कृष्णा टिफनी माताजी।
Hare Krishna, thank you for being here. I just would like to take a moment to introduce you properly.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my pleasure.
So His Grace Prashant Mukundas is here with us today to enlighten us and share His wisdom with us. Prashant Mukundas is a preacher of Vedic scriptures worldwide and has been associated with ISKCON for the last 15 years. Currently, Prabhuji is connected with ISKCON Dwarka. Prashant Mukundas has a Vedic Bhakti Shastri degree from ISKCON MIHE, the Mayapur Institute of Higher Education. He is a disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. His professional education includes a BSc Industrial Chemistry in Delhi from Delhi University, an MBA in Symbiosis Institute, and DPS from London College of Management. Prabhuji has worked with big multinational companies like Novartis, WNS, and Millward Brown. Currently, he is involved in counseling as spiritual guide to many families. And for connecting, we can always follow him on YouTube or on the Hare Krishna TV channel. Prashant Mukund is always appreciated for delivering life management, time management, stress management seminars to society, corporations, universities, and hospitals, such as AIIMS in Delhi, NSUIT in Delhi, MMTC Limited in Delhi, the Indian Navy at Vishakhapatnam, Tishinwal Industries in Ajmer, Maruti PhD, Chamber of Commerce in Delhi, and a PJ school in management in Delhi. So thank you so much for being with us today, Prabhuji. Please take over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm thankful to the Bhakti Sangha group and Radha Mataji and Tiffany Mataji and Shyama Gauri Mataji for inviting me, introducing me to all the congregation of the Bhakti Sangha. So it's my pleasure on the behalf of my Gurudev, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, I would like to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a service for Srimad Bhagavatam. Hope if I do any mistake, you people will forgive me. Okay. So, I will try to speak Srimad Bhagavatam by reciting the Mangala Charan first. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya नरम चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमः पंकज नाभाय नमः पंकज मालिने नमः पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकज आंग्रे ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयमरूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वब्दकांतिकं Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutah Pad Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagan Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijan Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsta He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhasya Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Hare Krishna. So thank you all the devotees for joining today morning in Bhakti Sangha and giving me a chance to speak on such an holy scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a spotless Puran mentioned by Shukadev Goswami himself. So before we start for the today's verse, I just want to introduce few things of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Srimad Bhagavatam is like Bhagavad Gita has some different subject topics of discussion. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam having five important things in the complete Srimad Bhagavatam, which every devotee should know. There are five important things which Srimad Bhagavatam contains is first, the stutis. Stutis means the prayers. Prayers done by Bhishma. We know Bhishma stuti, Bhishma prayer. Bhishma Dev has done prayer for Lord Krishna. There are Kunti stutis, means the Kunti prayers, the prayers by the Queen Kunti, and then done for the pleasure of Sri Lord Krishna, Lord Hari. And there is special Gajendra Stuti. So this Bhagavatam is full of Stutis. So one part is called as Stutis. Gajendra Stuti, Kunti Stuti, Bhishma Stuti. And second is Upadesha. Upadesha means the instructions. So Upadesha or the Samvad, the conversations. So we found many conversations in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes people get confused. Oh, right now, like Vidura is speaking, but Sut Goswami was asking previous question. And now reply was from Parikshit Maharaj, so people get confused. So there are many conversations going in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called as Upadesha. Means there are mainly conversations between Shukadev Goswami speaking, Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions. Second conversation is going between Sut Goswami in Naimisharan speaking and Shonak Rishis, 80,000 Shonak Rishis, 88,000 Shonak Rishis. Shonak is the main Acharya of all the devotees asking questions in Naimisharanya. And the conversation is going between Narad and Yudhishthir Maharaj, conversation between Vidhur and Maitreya Muni. So many conversations in Srimad Bhagavatam. So first is Stutis and second is Upadesha. Third is in Srimad Bhagavatam we find Charitra, means the biographies, Charitra, the biographies of different devotees' life. Like we want always our devotees very interesting to know about the other devotee's personal life. How did he become a complete devotee? How did he had Krishna consciousness in his life? So we have many charitra in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like we have Dhruv charitra. We have Prahlad charitra. So these kind of Narad charitra. We have many charitras like in previous life, who were they? now what they are doing, and how very young age, at the age of 5, they get Krishna consciousness in their life, and they achieved Krishna in this lifetime only. And Krishna blessed them with everything, spiritual knowledge and material success as well. And then fourth part is in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called as Rupak. Rupak means the examples given by Srimad Bhagavatam, like if I am going to give a discourse on particular shloka, then I will use which connect to the particular spiritual content of today's discourse, which is called as Rupak. So there are very specific Rupaks in Srimad Bhagavatam called as Puranjan Upakhyan. And Puranjan Upakhyan given by Sri Narad Muni to teach someone, he is making a story, and which is also a part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes people say, this is a story, this is not a fact, but because it is spoken by a pure devotee to make somebody understand Krishna, it also becomes a part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fifth part of Srimad Bhagavatam is Gita, the song sung by myriad devotees, which is called as El Geet, Gopi Geet, Bhikshu Geet, and Brahmar Geet, Venu Geet, Udhav Geet. So there are many Geet, many songs sung by Udhava, songs sung by the flute of Krishna, songs sung by the gopis of Krishna. That becomes the fifth part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam contains the complete 18,000 shlokas, the complete of Srimad Bhagavatam. It has five topics: Stuti, Obadesha, Charitra, Rupak, Geet. So the Bhagavatam contains these five important things, and the complete Bhagavatam revolves around all these five topics. So today we are going to discuss about a very special Canto 4, the chapter 31, and the verse 12 and 13. So first of all, I will speak both the shlokas and give the translation also. And then I will explain about this shloka. So it is mentioned here in the 12th verse. Kim va yogena sankhyena nyasa swadhyayorapi kim va shriyobhi annecha nayatra atma pradohari. The shloka is on the screen as well. You can all read. Kim va yogena sankhena nyasa swadhyayorapi kim va shriyobhi annischa nayatratma pradohari. This is 12th verse. The meaning of this verse is, so we'll go little down and we'll read the translation. Transcendental practices that do not ultimately help one realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead are useless, be they mystic yoga practices, the analytical study of matter, the severe austerities, the acceptance of sannyas, or the study of Vedic literatures. All these may be very important aspects of spiritual advancement, but unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, all these processes are useless, just useless. So it's very important topic to understand. And now we are reading the verse 13 so that I can explain both of them together without utilizing much of your time. So we are moving on 13th verse. Shreyasamapi sarvesham atma hira vidharthata sarvesamapi bhutanam hariratma tapriya shreyasamapi sarvesham atma hi avadhiyarthata sarveshamapi bhutanam hariratma atmada priya. So the translation of this verse is, we'll go little down in the screen and we'll read the translation of this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in one, they are asking a question, and in the second shloka, the explanation is given that what is the topmost among all the practices done by the different austere people. So we'll go sequence by sequence. First of all, we go on the 12th shloka and we'll discuss what is explained here, word by word. Before we start the discussion, I would like to recite one shloka from Padma Puran, which explains about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the house, like in lockdown period, all the devotees are studying Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of Acharyas, Gurujan and Vaishnavas. And in a Bhakti Sangha group, people are preparing lectures, delivering lectures. Every day there is a nectar is flowing from the different exalted devotees. So among those exalted devotees, I am the servant of all those devotees who are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, serving Srimad Bhagavatam. So Padma Puran is saying, Katha Bhagavatasya api Nityam bhavati yad grahe tad graham tirtha rupam hi nananam papa vinashanam. The Padma Puran says, Katha Bhagavatam api. The stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Katha of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam bhavati yad grahe. In the house where every day Srimad Bhagavatam shlokas are recited, every day people are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, tad graham tirtha rupam hi, that place, that house becomes tirtha, dham, naram papa vinashanam, and nobody can think of the sins, all the sins eradicated just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, nasht prayeshu abhadreshu. So Srimad Bhagavatam hearing takes away all the sinful thoughts even coming to our mind. So we'll move further to the shloka 12 today and discuss what is mentioned here. Kimva yogena sankhena. It is written that there are different processes given by the different practitioners. The first process is given kimva yogena sankhena, means yoga process. So let's discuss, removing this screen, we'll move further and discuss what is yoga. So in yoga system, yoga is done by many tapasvis, many rishi munis, and it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that yoga, if the target of yoga is not Krishna, that yoga, just the ashtanga yoga, yam, niyam, dharana, dhyan, asan, pranayam, samadhi, this all eight parts of the ashtanga yoga will not give Krishna consciousness till the time we are not doing the yoga to attach with Krishna. Yoga words means 1 + 1. The plus resembles yoga. In Sanskrit, yoga means addition. When one yog one means 1 + 1 is equal to 2. It means when we are adding something in our life, then it is called as yoga. And whereas in nowadays, we find around the world, people are just taking out of the 8 parts of the Ashtanga yoga, they take only the 2 parts, pranayam and asana. They do different body postures. They do asana and pranayam, the breathing exercises. And they think yoga is not good for achieving Krishna consciousness in our life. We have seen, it's a very good example given in Bhagavatam about Durvasa Yogi. Durvasa Muni was a very brilliant yogi. And Durvasa Yogi was such an brilliant yogi that he could take out his own intestines out in the Yamuna water, and he can just wash off all his intestines. Like in Asana Kriya, people sometimes do Kunja Kriya for cleaning the intestines and vomit from the people do this kind of asana and pranayam for making the body clean, regenerate. And this was done by Durvasa years, yugas back in Satyuga. He could take out the intestines out from the body, wash it off, and again replace it back in the same place where it was. Such an exalted yogi. But this yogi was mistaken by people that yoga means achieving God. Meditating means achieving God. Just sitting idle and thinking about something dark is God. No. Durvasa, having said such a power, once reached Ambarisha Maharaj. And it is in Canto 9. Ambarisha Maharaj was a very exalted Vaishnava. But he was very, very down to earth. He used to serve his temple by himself, by his own hands. Once Ambarisha Maharaj was little diseased, he was in fever. And suddenly one of his queen came, and instead of Ambarisha Maharaj cleaning the altar, she cleaned the altar. Ambarisha Maharaj became angry. You have taken up my service, though I am in fever, but I can't serve my deities. I can't serve my altar. He was so, so much attached to service of the Lord. Karer mandir marjanadishu. Karer mandir marjanadishu. By his hands, he used to clean the temple, the altar, with such a love and devotion. And this Ambarisha Maharaj was very down to earth. Once Ambarisha Maharaj took Ekadashi Vrata, like yesterday was Ekadashi. And the Ambarisha Maharaj was having Ekadashi, and suddenly he found that Durvasa Muni came on the day of Dwadashi, means today is Dwadashi, the second day after Ekadashi day. And the Durvasa Muni came to Ambarisha Maharaj and he asked, Ambarisha, have you done the paran for the Ekadashi? Because after we keep Ekadashi, next day we break the fast, which is called as breakfast time. And we break the fast and we eat grains, remnants of the Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, called as Nirmalya. And Ambarisha said, no, Durvasa Rishi, I hadn't done any paran till now. She said, okay, then wait for me. I just go in Yamuna, take bath and come back again. And we will both together, we will have the paran of the grain ceremony, grain food. Ambarisha said, oh, very nice. That's very nice. I will have an association of you. I will wait for you, Durvasa Rishi. Please go and have your bath in Yamuna. Durvasa Rishi went for the Yamuna bath. But everyday practice, he took out his intestine. He was cleaning in the Yamuna water, keeping it back. It took long time. And here the paran time was moving out. So sometimes people think, is it the paran time is important to break the Ekadashi? Yeah, it's very, very important. It's very important to break your fast of Ekadashi next day in a particular time period. People ask, what is the reason? Like we honor Ekadashi by keeping a fast, not eating grains. Similarly, we honor Dwadashi Devi, the personified of Dwadashi Day, by breaking the fast. So Ekadashi by honoring, by keeping the fast, Dwadashi honoring by breaking the fast in a particular time period. So now Ambarisha was in very anxiety. If paran time goes away, I will not have the mercy of Lord of keeping the Ekadashi. So he consulted many Vaishnavas that what should I do? Durvasa Rishi has not came back. Can I have something so that I can be on a paran time? I can meet the paran time standards. Different Vaishnavas said, yeah, you can, because you have keep the Nirjala Ekadashi, so you buy water, you can break your fast. If you have not taken water on Ekadashi day, next day you can break fast by drinking little sip of water. And drinking water will not disrespect Durvasa Rishi also, because Durvasa Rishi will come for food. So when he will come, you can have your food. So time will also, you will meet the standards and you will also respect Durvasa Rishi on the same time. Ambarish said, okay. Consulting the Vaishnavas, he drank the water. And suddenly when Durvasa Rishi came, he said, have you done your paran? Ambarish said, yes, Durvasa Rishi. Time was passing by, so I took a little sip of water. Durvasa Rishi become angry. He is known for cursing. He said, oh, you, why did you do that? Do you disrespect Durvasa Rishi? I'm going to curse you now. He became very angry. And suddenly, he took out one hair from his scalp and thrown on the ground. And suddenly, one demon was there. And he asked the demon, go and kill Ambarisha. Eat him. Suddenly, Ambarisha was surprised. What is happening? But instead of This is what we need to learn. Instead of reacting to Durvasa Rishi or to the demon, Amrisha just folded his hand and he was waiting for whatever happens. I will accept the situations as it is. This is what required by a devotee. Whatever situations comes, we accept it as a prasad of Krishna, as a blessing of Krishna. Okay, you want to kill me? I am ready to be killed for you, Krishna. You want to keep me? I am ready to serve you, Krishna. This is what some acharya say. We should say thank you, Krishna, for everything. We should say thank you, Krishna, for everything. Even in the difficult times, if we can say thank you, it gives you a lot of power and purifies us. If we remember Krishna in difficult times, it purifies us. Multiple purification. So Amrisha, remembering Krishna, folded hand and he said, whatever happens, I am ready to accept it. Suddenly, without asking, the Sudarshan Chakra appears in the scene and Sudarshan Chakra started burning Durvasa Rishi. Durvasa Rishi was surprised. What happened? That Sudarshan Chakra killed that demon. And started following Durvasa Rishi. This Sudarshan is going to burn me up. And Durvasa started running. He went up to Kailash Parvat. Oh Shiva, Lord Shiva, save me. I am a bigger yogi. This Sudarshan Chakra will burn me up. Please save me. Please save me. Shivji said, Lord Shiva said, this Sudarshan Chakra is not my weapon. It's a weapon of Vishnu. So I can't help you out. Please forgive me. I can't help you out. Though Durvasa is an incarnation of Lord Shiva only, still Shiva was not able to serve Durvasa Rishi. And Durvasa Rishi thought, what should I do? He started running from Kailash. He went up to the Brahma Loka. And he reached to Brahma Loka, Satya Loka. And he said, Brahmaji, save me. This Sudarshan Chakra is going to burn me up. Please save me. And Brahmaji started, what can I do? It's a weapon of Vishnu. I can't help you out. Oh, who's going to save me? My body is burning. Brahma said, run fast. Time is short. Go quick to Vishnu. And now Durvasa started running and he reached to Karnodakshay Sagar where Vishnu was lying because Durvasa did not enter Vaikuntha. He was on the verge of Vaikuntha. There is a river called Virja River and an ocean called Karna Sagar. On that Karna Sagar, you have seen a photograph. Vishnu is lying down very, very sweetly. Lakshmiji is pressing his legs and the Sheshanaga bed is there. So Vishnu was lying down, Karnodak Sagar. And he asked, what happened, Durvasa? He said, your Sudarshan Chakra is burning me. You know, I am a big yogi. I have done so much of austerities. I can stand on one foot. I only drink milk. Sometimes I even don't drink milk. I drink only the juice of grass. It's a special grass called Durva grass. Sometimes in Karma Kanda, people utilize that grass called Durva grass. He said, I sometimes drink only Durva grass. That is why my name is Durvasa. Because I drink only the ras, the juice of grass. So I'm such an austere person. I don't eat food for many, many years. Please save me. Then Vishnu started laughing. And Vishnu said, Sudarshan Chakra is on auto mode. Like we have autopilot mode in aeroplane. It is on auto mode. I can't help you. Why you can't help me? Then Vishnu Krishna said there. Vishnu said, Aham Bhakta Paradhino. I am bound by the love of devotees. The moment somebody disrespect my devotee, this auto mode of Sudarshana starts automatically. It's a code. There is a code in the Sudarshan Chakra. Suddenly you disrespect my devotee, Sudarshan start rotating and start burning that person. Sometimes we see, even in our lives, we have not done anything wrong, but we are not able to sustain happily. What happened? Some miseries are coming in our life. The devotee must understand that we have done some offenses in our life. That is why the Sudarshan Chakra is burning with miseries to us. This is because we have done some Vaishnava offense. Otherwise, except Vaishnava offense, nobody can stop you from growing in bhakti life. Nobody can stop you from growing in the devotional service. Only the Vaishnava offenses. It's very, very strong. So So similarly, Vishnu said, Aham Bhakta Paradhino, I am bound by devotees. So you have to go back and again pray to Ambrisha for forgiveness. Only Ambrisha has the power to stop this Sudarshan Chakra. Oh my God. Means Shiva cannot stop, Brahma cannot stop, even Vishnu cannot stop, a devotee can stop. Such a power of a devotional life, of a devotee, of a pure devotee. And then Durvasa ran from there, and by running, he came by running to that place and came and just with folded hand, he started lying down and he paid his obeisances and said, Oh Ambrisha, I could not understand the value of devotees. I had done a lot of mistakes. Please forgive me. Durvasa said, Please forgive me, Ambrisha. Amrish Maharaj said, Still, he was a devotee. He made the Durvasa stood up and said, Remove the dirt on his body. Said, Don't worry, you have not done anything wrong. Durvasa said, Okay, we will discuss later. First, remove this Sudarshan Chakra. Then Amrisha prayed to Sudarshan Chakra. Oh, Sudarshana, you are glorified. Please go away. He is a devotee. He has not done any offenses. I am forgiving him. Please go away. And suddenly Sudarshan disappeared from the scene. And when Durvasa understood this philosophy of Vaishnava culture, then Durvasa spoke one shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 5, verse number 15. He says, Dushkaro ko na sadhunam, dustyajo va mahatmanam, ya sanghito bhagavana, satvatam rishabha hari. Dushkaro ko na sadhunam, those who have achieved Hari, the master of the pure devotees, who what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up. Ye Sangita Bhagavanah Satvatam Rishabha Hari. Satvatam means the devotees of Lord Hari. For Lord, the devotees of Lord Hari, Dushkaro Kona Sadhunam, what is impossible for devotees, and Dussachyona Mahatmana, what they can't do, what they can't give up. They can give up anything and they can do anything. This was recited by Durvasa, received the glories of Vaishnavas. So we have to understand, devotees can do impossible tasks. We see Srila Prabhupada. He has done an impossible task one cannot think of at the age of 70. He moved from India to America and he changed the whole world in just 11 years of his travel, 11 years of his lectures and his translation of his 86 books, and he has changed the complete world. Because Dushkaro Kona Sadhunam, for the devotees of Hari, nothing is impossible. Dusajjona Mahatmana, and for such exalted devotees, they are the real Vairagis. They are the real Tyagis. They can give up anything. Srila Prabhupada, when reached America, his typewriter was also stolen by someone. He was not having anything in his hands, but still he served, because he don't need anything for himself. He started writing lectures on the notebooks, and suddenly some devotees helped him with a dictaphone, and now he was translating day and night, utilizing everything. Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagadam Jagat. Everything in the service of the Lord. And he was very pleased. He was very happy. Day and night he is serving Krishna. And one day, one devotee was mentioning that Prabhupada was in very ecstasy. And he said, one devotee, that actually, you know, I never wanted to come on this earth. But Krishna said, no, you have to go. And Prabhupada was saying, no, I don't want to go. And again, Krishna was saying, no, you have to go. And Prabhupada said, I said, I don't want to go, Krishna. When Krishna third time said, no, you have to go and you have to bring people towards me, you go. And that was the task of a Nitya Siddha Vaishnava, that they come to change people and they take away. So this is the power of a devotional life. So yogi, if somebody follows the yoga path, yoga center path, it can only develop some bodily structural muscles, but it can't change the internal heart. Only information cannot do the transformation. People are just taking information, some yoga practices, information, but there is no heart transformation. Heart transformation happens only by devotional practice. So here in this shloka today, it is said, Kimva Yogena. So yogis cannot reach Krishna. Now the second thing which is denied to follow is Sankhena, Sankhya Yoga. Sankhena, Sankhya Yoga is denied. We should not follow the path of Sankhya. We should not follow the path of Yoga. So what is Sankhya? We need to understand. Sankhya is given by two devotees to the entire world. First is Kapil Muni and another is Lord Kapila. So there are two Kapilas. One was Kapil Muni and another was Lord Kapila. And both of them have given Sankhya. But one Sankhya is Sankhya philosophy. Another is a Sankhya Yoga. Yoga means connecting to God. So Sankhya Yoga means that real Sankhya Yoga given by Lord Kapila, which is analytical description of the body and soul. And little part of Sankhya Yoga we can see in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, where we are talking about the size of the soul, we are talking about the soul changes the body, like we changes the clothes, vasamse jiranani yatha vihaya, like we change clothes, soul is changing a body. We are talking about dehino asminam yatha deha komaram yavanam jara tatha deyantara prapte dhiratta trinam huyati. The body is, soul is changing the bodies from young to adult, from adult to old, and later passes on to the next body. The intelligent people should not get attached to these kind of changes. So this is all analytical description of body and soul. So there are two bodies, are analytical description of body and soul. Why it is given by Krishna in the second chapter? To bring Arjuna to the level of Bhakti Yoga. But somebody who is following the Sankhya Yoga philosophy, but his purpose is not to reach to the level of Bhakti Yoga, it is a waste. It is written in today's shloka. It is a waste. In 12 number shloka, it is said, it is a waste. Waste. Without reaching to Krishna, without reaching to God, if we are doing some analytical studies about soul, there are many philosophers in the world talking about soul. To reach to Krishna, that is a waste. Shram evhi kevalam. It is a wastage of time. So godless philosophical speculations will take us to the lower regions of body consciousness. And the philosophy of Krishna consciousness grow up to the level of from Sankhya Yoga to the Bhakti Yoga. And that difference you can see. The people, those who are following Sankhya, mental speculators, they can't reach to Krishna consciousness. So if you need to follow Sankhya, which is given by Lord, you can follow Sankhya Yoga. If you don't want, because Sankhya Yoga will take you to the Bhakti Yoga. But if you don't follow Bhakti Yoga wala Sankhya Yoga, then don't follow Sankhya, because Sankhya is a false understanding of God and godly things. Falsely people study Sankhya Yoga, which is also called as experimental study. Sankhya Yoga is called as analytical study or also called as experimental study. Anuman Praman, Prataksha Praman. People believe in seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. What we can't see, we can't accept. So people believe that what I can perceive from my senses, that thing only exists in the world. And it is called as sensual perception theory. Eyes, there are five sense organs in our body. Nose, eyes, tongue, skin, ears. By ear, we hear something good or bad. So we analyze, it is good, it is bad, we hear. By nose, we smell, it is good, it is bad. By eyes, we see, this is beautiful, this is ugly. By skin, we touch, it is warm, it is cold. By tongue, we taste, it is sweet, it is sour, it is bitter. So these are the five sense organs. So people, in the Sankhya philosophy, by the sensual perception, they want to analyze Krishna consciousness. They want to analyze God. They want to read soul. What is the length of soul? Where is soul? And they keep on reading scriptures, Puranas, and misinterpret and confuse the country, confuse the entire world. So and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that our senses have some limits. With our senses, we cannot understand God. Like our eyes cannot see after certain limits. Our ears cannot hear after certain limits. Like you are sitting right now in a room. Can you hear what is going on in the road? People walking on the road, what they're conversing, what they're talking, we can't hear. We can't see somebody standing behind the wall. We can't see. Our eyes has limitations. Our ears has limitations. My tongue has limitation. If I'm suffering with jaundice, even the sugar candy will not give me a taste. So because of this, all limitations, if somebody want to understand God through this sensual perception, this is a wrong philosophy. It is called a Sankhya Yoga. And people, those who can't understand by experiment, they go for Anuman, guesswork. Maybe God be the light. Maybe the God be something powerful. Maybe there is some energy working on the top. And this is how people are thinking and talking. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentioning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Anuman praman nahi Ishwara tattva gyane. Anuman praman nahi Ishwara tattva gyane. To understand the tattva of the Lord Krishna, only Anuman, this experimental knowledge and the guesswork will not work. Kripa bina Ishwara tattva kehi nahi jane. Kripa bina Ishwara tattva kehi nahi jane. Without the mercy of the Lord, without the mercy of the Vaishnavas, without the mercy of the spiritual master, you cannot understand the tattva of Krishna. Ishwara kripa bina tattva kehi nahi jane. When there is a mercy of God coming through parampara system to the spiritual master, and from spiritual master to the Vaishnavas, through the Vaishnavas to the certain devotees, and this is how by the mercy we can understand the tattva. And it is very important to understand Krishna by tattva, not only knowing by the name but by the tattva. Janam karam cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. Tattva, the substance of Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna does not only holding a flute. Krishna is Ananta Govinda Vasudeva. He can expand himself into many, many million forms, but still he remains Gopala. He can have thousands of hands, but still like to have two hands and play flute. He can have many thousands of Vishnu incarnations, but still he like to herd the cows. He can have thousands and thousands of parents, but he like to have Yashoda Maya. So this is Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. And for understanding this tattva, it happens only by the mercy of Guru, Vaishnavas and Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, we get Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. This is dual. It is vice versa. When somebody comes new into bhakti life, he prays, oh God, please show me my path. Please show me Guru. And by the mercy of Krishna, residing in your heart as Chaitanya Guru, He pragata, he establishes, oh, he is your guru. This person will change your life. Just surrender to him. And when you surrender to that person will imbibe Krishna in your heart. And he will say, oh, you surrender to me? Krishna is residing in your heart. Paramatma is in your heart. And this is how vice versa. By the mercy of Krishna, we get guru. And by the mercy of guru, we get Krishna in our life. So people, those who are studying Sankhya Yoga, analytical studies will not help to understand, to reach Krishna. So that is why Sankhya is also denied, is also being rejected by devotees, that this path is also not good. So we have rejected two paths today, Yoga and Sankhya. Now the third part which is given, Nyasaha. Nyasa means sannyasa. Sannyas. Sannyas means the renunciation order. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 23rd chapter, 57 verse, what is sannyas? Srila Prabhupada says the real sannyas means completely surrendering to the service of Mukunda. So sometimes people think that sannyasi means leaving family life only. But leaving family life is not the purpose of sannyas. Sannyas means completely surrender to the service of Mukunda. Why? BMW. Always remember BMW. Nowadays, in today's era, people are, everybody wants to get the bike or the car, BMW, the tech, BMW. So BMW, what do you mean by the BMW? B means the body, M means the mind, and W means the words. BMW, body, mind, and words. Just give your body, mind, and words to Krishna. You are in whichever dress, whichever ashram, you will be considered as a sannyasi who is serving Mukunda, Krishna, by body, mind, words. And Srila Prabhupada, disciples, explaining in the 11th canto, 23rd chapter, 57 verse, that in our Vaishnava culture, we have three dandi sannyasis. Three dandi sannyasi means they hold three dandas. And there is a saffron cloth around around the three dandas. And on the top of the three danda, there is a small curvature, which is called as jiva danda. So this jiv is by body, mind, and words. Now, will serve Mukunda. That is the means I am going to serve by my manasa, vacha, karmana, by my body, my mind, my words. This jiva will serve you, Krishna, will serve you, Mukunda. And that is the purpose of the three danda holding in the hand. Whereas in the other Mayavadi cultures, where there is no Krishna consciousness, sannyas only means leaving the family life. Renunciation is leaving the family life, leaving the responsibilities, sitting idle in some place, changing the color of the clothes. They hold one danda only, which is called as ek danda sannyas. So, Srila Prabhupada sannyas. The dress is not a sannyas. But the attitude for the service of Krishna is considered as a sannyas. Just by literally changing the dress will not considered as a sannyas. Any brahmachari can be a sannyasi. And the grastha can be a sannyasi. And any vanaprastha can be a sannyasi, and sannyasi is sannyasi. But we see in the material world, people think devotional life means that we have become sannyasis. So everybody is a sannyasi in our Vaishnava consciousness. But there is an ashram called Sannyas Ashram. So which we see as our spiritual masters having three dandas in their hands with saffron cloths. They are preaching entire world. They are taking care of so many devotees. So they have accepted the Vaishnav Sannyas Ashram. But in Kali Yuga, sannyas, relieving the responsibilities, is rejected. We should not follow the path of leaving the responsibilities, holding one danda, which is a Mayavadi sannyasis. But we should respect such sannyasis. Srila Prabhupada said we can respect such sannyasis. So sannyas is also rejected. That if sannyas not reaching to Hari, then that sannyas is of no use. Sometimes people get frustrated of wife-husband relationships. From the homework of their children, they become frustrated. And they call me, they say, Prabhu, we want to take sannyas. I start laughing. Because of homework and because of the frustration, you want to take sannyas? That is not the purpose of sannyas. Sannyas means that we are going to serve Krishna with body, mind, and words. My words will be for Krishna. I will preach. My mind will always revolve around Krishna consciousness. And my body will serve preaching and constructing temples, distributing books, distributing prasadam, cultivating devotees. My life will be for Mukunda. Mukunda word means Mukti Data Ek Mukunda. Mukunda means one who is the Lord of liberation. So we have rejected the three paths in Kali Yuga, yoga system, and Sankhya yoga system. And we have rejected the sannyas order without serving Krishna. So we are not talking here about sannyas ashram. We are talking about the sannyasi who just leave the responsibilities and move further. Now the fourth thing which is rejected here in the shloka is swadhyayoho. Swadhyayorapi, swadhyayo. Swadhyaya means reading scriptures, reading shastras, reading Vedas. But somebody who is reading Vedas, but the purpose is not to satisfy Krishna, so what will happen? that study of the scripture, the study of Vedas is a waste of time. It is a waste. We can see many examples like people, those who study lot Vedas, but they don't surrender to Krishna. What is their gati? What is their destination? We have a good example of Ravan. Ravan was a very intelligent person. He can recite number of shlokas in one go. He has made so many ashtakams. He has made sahitas, Ravana sahita. He has created and scripted so many verses and pads and padavalis. But still, Ravan did not surrender to Lord Ram. And if somebody reading scriptures, but his purpose is to get knowledge only gyan, that gyan will lead to pride, that knowledge will lead to criticism, that knowledge will lead to remark others, review others, and then later on he will end up his life with many, many offenses, and in guilty and stress he will live his life. This is the path of knowledge if the target is not Krishna. If somebody's target is to reach Krishna, then that knowledge is very nice. Because when Krishna says in Gita, four type of people come to me, then Krishna says, among the four type of people, those who come to me, the people, those who come for knowledge, the jnanis, they are the best. In 7th chapter, shloka 16 and 17, Krishna is mentioning, four type of people come to me. Artha, jigyasu, artharthi, jnani cha bharat rishabha. O Arjuna, four type of people come to me. Artha means in problem people come to God. That is a surrender. I am in problem. Please save me, Lord. That is first surrender. In artha means in miseries, in problems. Then jigyasa, by various questions. Who am I? Atatu brahma jigyasa. Who am I? Why am I here? So these queries bring to people to the temple, to the God. That is also a surrender. And then third surrender is a surrender of arthi. Means people come to Lord for money. And fourth, people come to Lord for knowledge. So Krishna is saying these four is called as sukrito jana, pious activities in their past life. And that is why the four are surrendering to me. Artha. Artha means those who come in miseries. So we have a good example of Gajendra. The elephant Gajendra surrendered to Lord in misery. But he is considered as a devotee. We recite Gajendra Moksha prayers. Then in Jigyasa, in questioning, a devotee surrendered to the Lord. And we find a very good example of Parikshit Maharaj surrendering to Sukadeva Goswami, asking the questions about the life. I am on a 7 days for my death. And what should I do? What a person should do in the 7 days remaining for the death to come? So it's a question, it's a jigyasa. He's also considered as a devotee. And third, in arthi state, for the luxury, somebody goes to Lord. And we find Dhruva is an example where he goes to ask for a seat, the throne, Father Manu. He wants, like, I want a Brahma's position. So he went for luxury opulence, but later on, he's also considered as a devotee. And in jnani state, We find Sukadeva Goswami himself goes to Vedavyas and wants to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he utilizes his life in serving Srimad Bhagavatam, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to various rishis, munis, and to Parikshit Maharaj. So we find that four are considered devotee, but out of four, the one who comes for knowledge is the best. But that knowledge and this knowledge, both are different. That knowledge will take you to Krishna. But this knowledge, swadhyaya means reading the Vedas, mental speculation, will take you to the lower species region. So one cannot attain liberation simply through philosophical speculations devoid of devotional service. If there is no devotional service, devoid of devotion, one cannot attain liberation, one cannot attain God. And it is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 24, verse 109. Bhakti bina kevala jnana mukti nahi hoye. Bhakti bina kevala jnane mukti nahi hoye. Only by knowledge, but without bhakti, without devotion, you cannot attain mukti. You cannot attain liberation. You cannot attain. though devotees does not want liberation, but if somebody even wants liberation, he will not get liberation only on the basis of knowledge of Vedas. So it is also rejected. So we have rejected the four pathway, the Gyanma, the Yoga Marga, Sankhya Yoga Marga. We have rejected the Sannyas Marga, leaving the responsibilities. We are not talking about Sannyas Ashram. And we have rejected fourth, the Swadhyaya, reading and mental speculating. And fifth part is Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda section, which is called as here, Kimva Shriyobhi, doing things for attaining pious results. So people do something as an surrendering, like offering food to the poor, helping to the orphanage people. You can do as a noble person, but ultimately the purpose of human life is to attain Krishna. If somebody is not moving on that path, that whatever good he do, it will be go in vain. It will just give you some pious credits. You will go to Swargaloka and Shine Punyam Mrityu Lokam Vishanti. After finishing the pious credits, you need to come back again to this Loka. So people doing bhakti on, even sometimes we find people are doing the Hare Krishna mantra on a material platform. Except ISKCON, there are so many Chaitanya Paramparas, which is called as Up Sampradaya. They are Up Sampradaya. Karta, Baul, 13 Paramparas talked by Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that these Sampradayas are called as Up Sampradaya. They started from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mission, but now they are not following the path of Krishna consciousness. They are not chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They are chanting some other mantras, taking the name of Chaitanya in between, taking the name of Krishna, taking the name of many other names, and diluting what given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, the guru of Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned even somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, but if he is not chanting Hare Krishna for attaining the prema of Krishna, for attaining the bhakti of Krishna, for serving Krishna, that Harinam will also give him pious credits only, will not liberate him from the cycle of birth and death. So for that reason, we need to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra by surrendering to the parampara system. In Kali Yuga, there are only four paramparas, which is mentioned by Acharyas, called as Shri Sampradaya, Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya, and the third is Rudra Sampradaya, and fourth is this Kumar Sampradaya. And it is given in Puranas, the shloka comes, Sampradaye vihine aye mantraste vifala mataha ataha kalo bhavishyanti chatvari sampradayani. Sampradaye vihina. If you are not in any of the four paramparas, chatvari means four. If you are not among the four sampradaye, sampradaye vihina mantraste vifala mata. Even if you chant the mantra, you will not get the results. You will get pious results, but you will not get the bhakti results. Because if you sow the seed of karma, you will get the karma result. If you sow the seed of pious, you will get the pious result. If you sow the seed of bhakti, you will get the bhakti results. If you sow the seed of sin, you will get the sinful results. So it is very secret topic that we should understand that while chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what is the mood behind chanting? O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. That mood should be there. But we find people say, please engage me in your service. But when service arrives, people wants to leave away from that place. No, I don't want to serve. I just want to chant. But actually we are chanting to serve Krishna. So sampradaya vihina mantraste vifala mata, that mantra will not give you any results. Ataha kalo sampradayini, in Kali Yuga, bhavishyanti chatavari sampradayini, in bhavishya, it is written in 5000 year back scriptures, Purana. In Kali Yuga, there will be only four sampradaya. Shri Brahma Rudra Sanakaha Vaishnava, only these are the four sampradayas. Vaishnav Sampradaya. Oh, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we are in the best parampara system, Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya, and which is ISKCON. ISKCON worldwide is a Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. So what is the difference between all the Sampradaya? Shri Sampradaya starts with Lakshmi Ji. Krishna given the knowledge to Lakshmi Ji, and in Kali Yuga, very great Acharya came as Ramanuja Acharya. He appeared and he gave the knowledge to the entire world. And then came Brahma Sampradaya. Madhavachar appeared in Kali Yuga and he gave the knowledge of Brahma Madhav Sampradaya. And then came Rudra Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami in Kali Yuga came. And in Kumar Sampradaya, this Nimbarkacharya appeared in Kali Yuga and he connect people. So among all these four Sampradaya also, the most potent is Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. People will ask question, why? Because in this Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna himself appeared and he took shelter to Ishwarpuri. To the Ishwarpuri path, he took shelter and he taught us that this parampara I accept, you accept, and then you can get the Krishna Prem very easily by following the siksha of this parampara and chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we have rejected the Karma Kand section. If you do Karma Kand also, just for the sake of doing it, it will not give you any results. It is also rejected. So we rejected the five paths, the yoga paths, body postures. We rejected Sankhya Yoga. Then this shloka rejects sannyas marga, which is leaving the responsibility. And this rejects even the Karma Kand section. And reading only for getting the knowledge of pride and just for criticizing others, just for showing that I am very knowledgeable, not for serving Krishna, not for serving Vaishnavas, not for serving devotees. So that knowledge is also of no use. So these five paths are talked about in this shloka. And this shloka is saying, these five are of no use if your target is not to reach to the Lord Hari. So this we have to understand. There's a very beautiful, in the 13th shloka also it is written, factually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of self-realization. Consequently, the goal of auspicious activity is karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti, is to achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you are not achieving Krishna, whatever you do, it's of no use. It's of no use. So I'm just reciting the last verse, and then we can have some question answers. Though I need to talk about some Vaishnavas also, because today is the disappearance of Vaishnavas, but time is short. So I am finishing with the last verse explaining that in Narad Pancharatra, there is a very beautiful explanation comes, where they say, Aradito yadi vish, aradito yadi hares, tapasyam tatha kim. Because today also we talk about kim. Kim means what is the benefit? Kim. Aradito yadi haris tapasyam tatha kim. Na aradito yadi haris tapasyam tatha kim. Very wonderful shloka. If you are chanting Hare Krishna, then no use of doing austerities, tapasyas. And if you are not chanting Hare Krishna, then also there is no use of doing austerity. That austerity will be waste. Well, be no use of for your body, no use for your soul. Antar bahirya dishari tapasyam tatha kim. If you can see Krishna internally and externally, like Prahlad, then there is no use of doing austerities. But na antar bahirya dishari tapasyam tatha kim. You do lot of austerity, tapasya, yoga. But if you can't see Krishna inside your heart, but if you can't see Krishna in everybody's body, you can't see Krishna in the deities, it is of no use. This is written in Pancharatra, so, and also comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we have rejected the path that the target of devotee's life is not yoga, not Sankhya Yoga, not sannyas, but the devotee's target of life is only mam janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahetu ki tvai. I just want to serve the birth after birth Krishna. I have no desires, zero desires. And Srila Prabhupada, when leaving, people ask, Prabhupada, do you have any desire? Last desire? Prabhupada said, aur kichhu ikcha nahi. I have no desires. And that is the ultimate life, ultimate target of a devotional life. So I have taken a lot of your time. I'm really sorry for getting late. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's very beautiful class today. We are always remember say thanks to Sri Krishna for everything, whether it is good or bad. Thank you so much, yeah. Prabhuji. Practice this one. If anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you Prabhuji. Beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhuji. So nicely you explain about how yoga is like, you know, the yoga and the bhakti. It's like different. Yeah. And nowadays yoga means they don't understand Prabhuji bhakti yoga. They just see, yoga means exercise. That's it. In especially in America, it's that one only.
Even in India, Mataji, now though people are just behind body postures, pranayama, asana, nothing as they want actually.
Yeah, also in we do Ekadashi. Ekadashi fasting is so important. People they do fasting for. Making body shape and something like that. So it is going hungry, but it's complete waste of time and waste of everything. We will not gain anything. Yeah. And also, Prabhuji, even before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were fasting on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. And Friday, Santoshi Mata Vrat. So like that is also not useful, right, Prabhuji?
Yeah. We have rejected in Karma Kanda section just for the sake of doing it without knowing the logic and reaching Krishna, it is of no use actually.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Shambhavi Mataji. Thank you so much. I am really sorry. I could not speak about Vaishnavas today. Time is short. So next time I will speak about stories of the Vaishnavas.
Yes, Prabhuji, you are supposed to speak about... Okay. We'll see if we can do it.
So next time we'll do definitely of some, that's because if we have been glorify Vaishnava, we can't cut short in 2 minutes. We need to explain in a better way. So that was my thought. And
we should have a separate class for that, right, Prabhuji?
Yeah. You can organize so that whosoever Vaishnava you want, that I can come and explain the past, the life history of a Vaishnava, how Vaishnava reached to the level of the Nitya Siddha stage.
Yes, Prabhuji. Actually, I was in a hurry to finish this chapter so we can finish 4th canto. That's why I gave the verses also to you. Yes.
Okay. That's nice. Yeah. Any other questions we have, Mataji?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Very nicely.
Thank you, Mataji.
But I have one question. Maybe you can clarify this, Prabhuji.
Yeah, please. Yeah, when you say, please ask, Mataji.
Kapila. The Sankhya philosophy about two devotees, you say. But I have read, and what Prabhupada has explained in the purport, that Kapila Dev, son of Devahuti, he propounded Sankhya philosophy. And there was an atheist Kapila who also did that. So we don't accept that Kapila.
Yeah, that is what I said today. There are two Kapilas. One is atheist and another which is talking about the mental speculation philosophies, just only analytically understanding God. Yes. Whereas we are accepting Lord Kapila's philosophy, which is given to Devahuti Mata, to her, to his mother, and which reaches the target of Sankhya Yoga, to reach to the Bhakti Yoga.
Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So if no one have any questions, we can end the call here. Devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Kriji. Very, very nectarian class, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna,
so many things from you. Hari Hari Gauranga. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for that. Please keep blessing. I can serve Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev always.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for an enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again in the future. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa darubhyesha kruba sindhu eva cha patitanam pavanobhyo vaishnavyo namo namah. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Mukund Prabhuji ki jai.
Sab Bhaktivinoda ki jai.
All the
devotees ki jai.
Dandavat Pranam Hare Krishna.
Radha Mata ji ki jai. Shyama Gauri Mata ji ki jai.
Hari Hari. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Dandavat Pranam Hare Krishna.
Radhe Radhe Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Was on the glass.
See you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Excellent.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji. Can I end the call, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.